You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Lillian Lorraine was still in her teens when she appeared in Florence Ziegfeld Jr.'s 1910 Follies. It catapulted her into stardom on Broadway and then in Hollywood. But despite decades of stardom, unlike her contemporaries, Fanny Brice, Sophie Tucker, and Helen Morgan, she's mostly forgotten these days. But Lorraine has been returned to the spotlight in a new book called Lillian Lorraine, The Life and Times of a Ziegfeld Diva. It's written by Nils Hansen, who is a retired vice president for the International Division of Thomas Cook and the son of Lorraine's maid, secretary, and confidant, Elsa Johnson. The book is published by Macfarlane Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings Nils Hansen to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. Great to be with you. You've become a daily part of my regimen, and I'm glad to meet you in the flesh, Leonard.
How did your mother come to work for Lillian Lorraine?
My mother came from Sweden as a little immigrant farm girl, and she went to an ethnic employment agency. And she was hired by one of the big vaudeville stars who was a friend of Ziegfeld. Ziegfeld spotted her. My mother was pretty. He hired her to be a companion to Lillian because Mom did not drink. She didn't swear. She didn't carry on with a bunch of people who were not the best people in the world. And he felt she'd be a good influence.
And how old was Lillian at the time?
Lillian was 17.
So this is just at the beginning of her career.
That's correct.
And Flo saw in her a wild streak that he felt somebody had to take care of.
Indeed. He felt that she was drinking a lot, even at that time, and she was carousing with the wrong people, boxing promoters and so forth. But he was absolutely fascinated with her. He felt she was the most beautiful woman in the world, and he dubbed her that way.
And how long did your mother stay?
10 years.
And then she left because she wanted to get married and have kids?
My mother got married, and she wanted to raise a family. But she did keep in touch with Lillian through friends who had been in the Follies.
And did she bring you to meet her ex-boss?
No. I met Lillian just once when I was 5 years old. I saw her when she came to visit us at our home in Larchmont, New York. And I remember her perfume, and I remember she was very beautiful. But that's the only thing I remember about her.
How long ago was that?
This was 1927.
Was your mother alive when you decided to start writing this book?
No, not at all. I don't think my mother would have liked this book.
Really?
No.
Your mother would have liked you to have painted Lillian as a nicer person?
A saint, in a sense, because Lillian was a good-hearted person. She took care of her peers. She was always doling out money and jewelry to people and helping them out, but her drinking got the better of her, I think.
How did she get discovered by Florence Ziegfeld in the first place?
She was in a Schubert show. The Schubert brothers had her in the chorus line. And
kids started working that early? She had to have been 16 then.
Well, that's right. They had at that time the John Gary Society, which was checking up on young people that were working in show business. And they didn't come after her because she was 17. I mean, 16 years old was permissible.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't grow up in New York, did she?
No, she did not. She came from San Francisco, and she was there until probably 6 months before the earthquake when her mother brought her east.
Mm-hmm.
The father had deserted them, and it was just Lillian and her mother.
Was her real name Lillian Lorraine?
No, it was not. It was Julianne de Jacques.
Oh, well, that wouldn't have made it as a Ziegfeld girl.
It would not have fit on a good marquee, I don't think.
So how did you learn about her early life?
My mother didn't talk too much about Lillian when I was growing up at home, but when she passed away in 1977, we were cleaning out the house in Larchmont, and my dad was moving to Florida, and I came across a theatrical trunk, and in that trunk I found clippings, magazines, photographs, hundreds of photographs of Lillian, and it rang a bell with me that I had seen her before, and that was when I was 5 years old.
And were the clippings about her successes or about the scandals as well?
About her successes. I found the scandals in the Library for Performing Arts.
Now, one of Ziegfeld's competitors actually called his show The Scandals. So were
George
they?
George White, that's right.
So were scandals part of this whole sensibility?
They were part of the culture of the time. George White's scandals and Hammerstein's and the Schuberts, they were the big Broadway producers.
But was she, Lillian likely to get in more trouble than the other Ziegfeld girls?
Yes, she was, and she got away with it because she was so beautiful. She didn't have the great talent that other girls had, singing or dancing. She was okay, But her beauty was absolutely stunning from what I could read in all the reviews.
Is that what gained her all of that immediate fame?
Or
her beauty. Was she given good songs to sing?
Always good songs. By the Light of the Silvery Moon, she was given to introduce. This was by Gus Edwards. Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Daddy Had a Sweetheart. Right down the line, she had a great many songs that she was given in most of the Ziegfeld shows.
Row, Row, Row Your Boat began in a Ziegfeld folly? Yeah,
that's correct.
I wonder if all those little kids who sing it would know that.
Well, I don't think they know the lyrics to it that exist in the sheet music of that time.
Oh, really? It
was they were a bit on the risque side. Yes, very risque.
There was a situation in Denver that ended with someone getting shot and killed.
Yes, yes.
What happened?
The Follies was at the Denver Show Palace and right across the street from the Brown Palace Hotel. And one of the New York socialites, who was a friend of Isabel Springer, who was a socialite leader in Denver at the time, he had been probably a suitor of hers, even though she was married. And he got into a fight about love letters that she had written to somebody else. And the husband, John Springer, who was very prominent in politics at the time, he got involved in it also. And it ended up with a gunfight, and Von Pugh was killed.
But Lillian was wound up being implicated in it, even though the story you're telling, she has nothing to do with
it. No, she did not have anything to do with it. The Schuberts, who ran a newspaper here in New York, a theatrical paper, they wanted to get at Ziegfeld, and so they implicated Lillian in it as the other woman. It was not true. We dug into grand jury minutes of the time, and she was not involved, although she was a very good friend of Isabel Springer.
Ziegfeld was notorious for having affairs with his showgirls. Did he have one with Lorraine?
She was his mistress.
But that's before she got married?
No, she left Ziegfeld and the show in 1912 to marry a man by the name of Fred Greshheimer, who happened to be the boyfriend of Fanny Bryce.
In fact, Fanny Bryce and Lillian had a big fight over
they
that.
Did indeed, they did, indeed, on stage.
Was this guy worth it?
No, he was a phony. He claimed to be a Chicago millionaire, but he was a phony from the word go, and he stole a lot of Lillian's jewelry, and he absconded with so much personal property and pawned it, of course. It was a very scandalous situation throughout.
And Fanny Bryce got her start in the Ziegfeld Follies?
She also started the same time as Lillian did in 1910. She was in the same Follies, and those were the two big stars that were made as a result of the 1910 Follies.
Did they ever make up, or did Greshheimer divide them forever?
No, they did make up, and they were friends probably until Fanny died. And
what happened with Fred Greshheimer?
Freddie Greshheimer was put in jail for a number of things, embezzlement and so forth, and he just disappeared from view. I've not been able to find any trace of where he went, if he went back to Chicago or not.
So it was after her marriage to Greshheimer that she got involved with Ziegfeld? She still in the Follies?
No, it was before.
Oh.
She got involved with Ziegfeld in 1909.
Oh, so she was still a teenager.
Oh, yeah. She was young. And she managed to stay with Ziegfeld throughout her life, in his memory of the romance they had had, and there is evidence that he was giving her money right up to the time he died in 1932. He never got over the infatuation of Lillian Lorraine, I don't think.
Although he was married to a number of different famous women.
Only two. Anna Held was his common-law wife at the time he met Lillian, and her presence there broke up that marriage. And then he, in order to spite Lillian, he married Billy Burke, and that was in 1913.
And Billy Burke did quite well for herself.
She certainly did.
Now, you mentioned that Greshheimer wound up in jail. Lillian prosecuted him for assault and theft.
She did.
Is that what got him landed in jail?
That was one of the things that landed him in jail.
He also stole a diamond ring of hers?
He did, indeed.
Why was that significant?
Because it was a ring that one of my nieces now has.
Oh.
And it's a beautiful diamond ring. It's a very large diamond, and Lillian gave it to my mother eventually. But it was something he forced off her hand and tried to pawn.
She was mostly a Broadway star, but she also appeared in films, didn't she?
She did. She had about 8 films altogether, and I've been able to find one reel in the Library of Congress, and that's Should a Wife Forgive? It's in very poor condition, but it's the only thing that I've got that shows her in action.
Your mother actually served as her stunt double.
She did. They were making a film called Neil of the Navy, and it called for Lillian to be chased by pirates to the edge of a cliff in La Jolla, California. And Lillian was afraid to jump the height that was required, so my mother was the stunt double there. They were physically very, very much alike. My mother was quite a beautiful woman also.
There are a number of films about Ziegfeld and his showgirls. Was she involved in any of them?
No, she never. The last film that was made, the big film, the mega film, The Great Ziegfeld in 1936, Lillian and Marilyn Miller refused to allow their names to be used in the film.
Because?
I think Lillian didn't want the scandal of Gresheimer to be brought up again. Marilyn Miller wanted more money than Ziegfeld, not Ziegfeld, but MGM had appropriated for her salary.
Well, Lillian wound up penniless, didn't she?
Where'd
all of her money go?
She gave it away. She had more jewelry probably than any other star on Broadway. She was highly paid, and people just borrowed money from her and never paid it back.
But Ziegfeld kept on giving her money all along, didn't he?
And my mother did too, surreptitiously.
And then she injured her back when she was
in 1931. She was at the 50-50 club in the Hotel Astor, and I think she had been drinking, and she fell. The story from the press was that she fell on the ice outside, but I think she fell down the stairs.
And how much longer did she live?
She died in 1955.
So she had a long life afterward. What was
she did? Well, it was a very sad life, a tragic life, because she no longer was young. She no longer had her beauty, and she just was a fixture. And Ed Sullivan, the toast of the town, Ed Sullivan, he called her a visitor to the local scotch and soda fountains, and very recognizable.
And she was actually given she was buried in a pauper's grave.
That's right. When she died, she was married to a common law husband, and he had no money, and he went to St. Patrick's Cathedral for a plot out in Calvary Cemetery, and she ended up in a pauper's grave.
And then your mother had
my mother found out about it. She had been in Europe at the time, and when she came home, she and Winnie Dunn, another Follies girl, got together and removed the body and had it reburied in St. Raymond's up in the Bronx.
You spoke to a number of the former Ziegfeld girls. What were their memories of Lorraine like?
They were wonderful, and in the book I've been able to quote a lot of them. There was one example of Lillian's generosity. Dana O'Connell, who was president of the Ziegfeld Club, she had been in the 1921, 22, and 23 Follies, and she told me about an incident where a friend of hers, a chorus girl, had come into her dressing room and was in tears about being pregnant as a result of an affair with one of the playboys, the stage door Johnnies. And Dana took her into Lillian's dressing room and told her about it. And, of course, Ziegfeld would fire her right away for knowing this. And Lillian just ripped a diamond bracelet off her wrist and said, "Here, take this. Go and have the baby and get a nanny for the baby and then come back and you'll be all right."
Aren't you now the administrator for the Ziegfeld Club?
I am.
So how long has that been in existence?
That has been in existence from 1936 up to the present day. Louis Sobel and Billy Burke formed it at the request of MGM to publicize The Great Ziegfeld. And then several years later, after the Ziegfeld film had been shown all over the country, they decided to disband the club. But they found out that a great many of their peers, the Ziegfeld girls, no longer had enough money to pay rent and hospital bills and so forth. So the club became a 501c3, which it is today.
Very different from the reunion in Follies.
Oh, yes, yes.
Where everybody seems to have had some kind of success.
That's right, that's right.
But
there was an underside to a lot of the Follies girls' careers.
The foreword of your book is written by Richard Ziegfeld.
Yes, indeed.
He was a cousin of
He was club? A cousin of Florence, yes. Matter of fact, he's outside right now.
And he wrote a biography of his famous cousin.
He did, called The Ziegfeld Touch. And it's probably, in my opinion, the definitive book on Florence Ziegfeld's life and career.
You end your book with a song co-written by Lorraine and Harry Layton.
Yes.
Not one of her big hits.
No, not at all.
Did she write a lot of songs?
No, this was not a song, Leonard. It was a poem and about friendship. And what I was trying to show was that she was a very lonely person and placed a very high value on good, real friends.
You compare her to some of the current roller coaster superstars.
Yes, Lindsay Lohan and Lady Gaga and Madonna. These are all prima donnas in one way or another. And certainly the word diva was not used the way it is today. But I would say that Lillian was probably the first of the major divas in Broadway.
A woman, well, I'm not going to speak about the others in terms of talent, but Lillian's lack of dancing and singing skills was often pointed out in mm-hmm. reviews
That's
of
true.
The Ziegfeld Follies and then the Hammersteins. So it really was just that she was considered extremely beautiful.
She was beautiful and she was a fashion plate. Ziegfeld dressed her to the nines and she was always seen to be the woman that other women envied because of her beauty and the clothing that she wore.
Lillian Lorraine, The Life and Times of a Ziegfeld Diva, is written by Nils Hansen with a foreword by Richard Ziegfeld. It is published by McFarlane. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me here. Enjoyed it.